Luke chapter 4 from verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And all bare him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" And he said unto them, "You will surely say to me this proverb, 'Physician, heal yourself. Whatever you've heard done in Capernaum, do also here in your country.'" And he said, "Verily I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha, the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian." May the Lord bless the reading of that word to us this morning. The wonderful ministry that the Lord exercises in our lives. Where was he on the Sabbath day? He was in the synagogue. And it says, as his custom was. In other words, he always went there on the Sabbath day. That's so much for those believers today who believe it's not necessary to join together in fellowship with Christians. We can just go and do and live as we've always lived, but we're Christians and it doesn't matter if we don't become part of a fellowship of God's people. The Bible teaches quite clearly the essential nature of being part of a fellowship of God's people. As a matter of witness, as a matter of being built up and strengthened for oneself, as being part of the body of Christ. If you use the body analogy that we find in the Bible, that the church is like a body. It's made up of different parts and different members. The head is Jesus Christ, and through the head, through all the parts of the body, comes all the nourishment and the help that the body needs. If you cut your hand off, what happens to your hand? It dies. I know they can do marvellous things these days. Pack it in ice, rush it to hospital and get it all sort of repaired maybe. Not quite the same as before. But if you cut your hand or cut your finger off, leave it there, it will die. It needs to be part of the body. And if you dissociate yourself from the people of God, from the fellowship of God's people, spiritually you'll begin to die. You need what the body supplies. We all need one another. The arm needs the leg needs the feet need, and so on. And the body is a good illustration. And he says that Jesus, as his custom was in the synagogue. And you could probably criticise all sorts of things about the synagogues of those days. But Jesus found him, he had to be where the people of Israel were, where the scriptures were read, amongst God's people. You can find all sorts of criticisms of church and churches today. But God still requires us and asks us and advises us and encourages us to be part of the body of Christ in an active way. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't let the devil let those criticisms of the people of God. We're not beyond criticism. But don't let those criticisms deter you from doing what God has said. He was, as his custom was, in the synagogue. He wanted to be where the word of God was read and where the word of God was taught. And where people were there that did seek the Lord. Don't dismiss it. The Bible is quite clear in Hebrews chapter 10, where it advises us not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. And we can say that today, as the manner of some is today. I know a number of people that would count themselves as Christians and sincere Christians, but they don't see the need to go to church. It creates for them more problems than it does blessings in their view. But I tell you, you'll be cutting yourself off from blessings if you're cutting yourself off from the people of God, from the body of Christ. Not forsaking the assemblies of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. Read your Bible. Jesus is coming soon. All those people campaigning about climate change and all the rest of it. Yeah, it's a serious thing. It's happening. The world is, the people are destroying the world. But don't panic. Read your Bible. It will carry on until Jesus comes again. And Jesus is coming again. Praise the Lord. And Jesus stood up in the synagogue, and the scriptures were handed to him to read. And he read from Isaiah chapter 61. This is what he read. Verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. What a reading! He went on to say, having read the scriptures, having handed it back, he went on to say in verse 21, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Jesus was identifying himself as the one that was in the prophecy of Isaiah, who would be saying, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. It's a prophecy concerning the Messiah. And in Jesus, we see that prophecy fulfilled. This day is this scripture. He applied it to himself. But the problem was, you see, with the people here, the people of his own area where he was brought up, we know him. It's there in the scriptures, we read it. They said, is not this Joseph's son? We know him. Sometimes, you know, when people get involved in the work of the Lord and they begin to preach and such like, if they're in their own area, people say, I know him, he was a terrible kid when he was a teenager. Not that Jesus was, but they said, we know him, he's just an ordinary kid, and we know all about what happened here. There's something suspicious about his birth. But you see, that ignores the fact, as far as we are concerned, people might have known what we were like, but as believers we can say, but I'm changed. I've been changed. I've been born again of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of the Lord, he said, is upon me. You see, if you go back to the previous chapter, you'll find that Jesus had gone through the waters of baptism. John the Baptist had baptized him. And when he was baptized, he came up out of the water, and the Holy Spirit came upon him as a dove, in form as a dove. And the voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And at the beginning of this chapter 4, it says, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And he went through those 40 days of trial and testing as he was tested and tempted by the devil. And when that temptation was over, when he came through victorious, it says in verse 14 of this chapter, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. He'd gone through a terrible time of testing, 40 days. Satan had tested him, tempted him. He came through victorious. He fasted for 40 days. And he returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And he taught in their synagogues. And he came to Nazareth. And he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. Here's the good news. Here's the good news. Here is the gospel. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, he said. Yes, he'd come through victorious in the power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord upon me, because he has anointed me. Because he has anointed me to proclaim the gospel to the poor. That phrase, proclaim the gospel, to preach the gospel, is just one word in Greek text. Our word would be, to translate it accurately, would be evangelize. I've come to evangelize the poor. Evangelize means bring the good news. The good news of the gospel. And Jesus says, this is what's happened. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to announce the good news. Not preaching as we understand preaching, but to announce the good news to the poor. And the poor are those who realise that they are sinners. Not necessarily materially poor, but those who are poor in this world today, whether they're rich monetarily or not, those who are poor are those who are poor in the sight of God, who are without hope in this life. All they've got to live for is now and what they've got, and at the end of it they're going to die, and as far as they're concerned that's going to be the end. That's what they think. They're poor spiritually. They're poor. What a way to live. You can have all that you can amass and get all the possessions you could want, but if at the end of it there's nothing, you're poor. And Jesus says, I've come to announce the good news to the poor. The good news that I have come to pay the price for what's causing the problem, to pay the price for human sin. I've come to tread that pathway to the cross. I've come to take in my body the punishment for all the sins of the world. That whoever believes in me will not perish, but have everlasting life. Sins forgiven. And that's the John 3:16 verse, put from a different perspective, isn't it? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. That whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to announce the good news. Hallelujah. And Isaiah says, to the meek. Here it says, to the poor. To the meek. To those who are poor in spirit. Ready to receive the message of salvation. You see, the meek will know that they are sinners. The meek will be in that place ready to repent and to put their faith and trust in the one who came to be the saviour of the world. Salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. Salvation is not, as many people think today, it's not in good works. If I do enough, God will be pleased with me. No, it's not. Salvation is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. People who know they are sinners, who are ready to repent and believe and receive that salvation that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's good news. It's good news because there's hope. There is forgiveness. There is a saviour. There is salvation for all who will repent and believe. He says, I've come to announce the good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. The brokenhearted are those people who have really realised their situation, that they are in a place of spiritual death, that they have offended God by their sin, and they're brokenhearted about it. They want to repent. They want to turn to God. He's come, says Jesus, to heal the brokenhearted. You see, in Mark chapter 1, when Jesus began to speak and to preach to those around about him, he said this, repent and believe the gospel. It's quite simple. It's the same today. What do you have to do to be saved? Repent and believe the good news. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Saved means your sins will be forgiven. Saved means that you'll be on a pathway to heaven. Hallelujah. When you die physically, you will go to heaven. You'll be with the Lord forever. Saved by his wonderful grace. And in Mark chapter 2, verse 17, Jesus said, I came not to call the righteous, those who think they're good enough. Is that the case with anyone this morning? You think you're good enough? You're going to make it? You're doing your best? That will never get us there. He says, I've come to call sinners to repentance. To put their faith and trust in Jesus. And this too is our commission. Jesus said, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. I've been sent, said Jesus. We too have been sent. Jesus said in John chapter 20 and verse 21-22, he said this, as my Father has sent me, so send I you. And when he said this, he breathed on them, his disciples. And he says to them, receive the Holy Spirit, that they might know that same anointing and power that Jesus had. The anointing and power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, said Jesus. And those that know the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour and Lord, and go on to know that fullness of the Holy Spirit, can say also, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, to proclaim these things. Preach deliverance, says Jesus, to the captives. Those who have been made captive by the enemy, those who have been made captive because of their sins, they're in bondage to sin. Jesus said, I've come to preach deliverance to the captives. That those who are held in the power of the enemy, those who have, because of their sin, come under that condemnation of death, Jesus says, "You can be. I've come to set them free. Set them free from the bondage to sin, to become sons of God, children of God. Those that are blind can see." There's a whole world around us living in blindness to these things. They don't want to see. They don't want to know, because they're blind. But Jesus says, "I've come to preach deliverance to the captives, and that those that are blind might see." You know, we've got a problem here in Pitsea. We've got a problem here in Bowers Gifford, whichever end of the world we are, Bowers Gifford, Pitsea. It's a problem that's all over the country. It's a problem that's all over the world. People are in spiritual blindness. They cannot see what we can see. I believe that the word of God is powerful. I believe the word of God, as the scripture said, is sharper than any two-edged sword. Hallelujah. It can divide asunder between soul and spirit, that people might know what sin really is and what offends God. They can know what's of God and what is of self. And we need what's of God. What's of self will never succeed. But what's of God saves. Jesus says, "I've come that the blind might see." You know, in John chapter 9 and John chapter 8, Jesus said these words. He said, "I am the light of the world." Where there's light, there's revelation. Where there's light, you can see what you couldn't see before. Where there's light, there's no more blindness, but you can see. He said, "I am the light of the world." He said, "He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, not able to see anything, but shall have the light of life." And where are you this morning? Have you come to that place where you could have seen the truth? There's a sad story on the one of the channels during the week of old Hank Williams, the old country and western singer. Died in 1953, I think it was. Drugs, booze, all the rest of it. But in his life, he had experiences of the Lord, of the church. And he wrote a lot of gospel songs. But, you know, the things of the enemy seemed to have a hold on his life. But he wrote that song, "I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. I now have traded the wrong for the right. Praise the Lord, I saw the light." And they're the words he wrote. They're the man who wrote those songs. His life was a disaster. And yet in those songs, he had known what the truth was. He'd known what the truth was. Oh, that we might get a hold of that truth. You know, you can know what the truth is and still not get hold of it and make it yours. Oh, the Lord says, "I've come to set at liberty them that are bruised, them that are crushed." Oh, hallelujah. It doesn't matter what you've been through. It doesn't matter how much your life has been battered. The Lord can deal with that. He can set at liberty them that are bruised, that are crushed. He says, I've come to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. I've come to herald the acceptable year of the Lord. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, it says this: "Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation." Paul was making a point. And the point was this. In the previous lines to that verse, which we find in 2 Corinthians 6, it's actually quoted from Isaiah 49 verse 8. And this is what is quoted from Isaiah 49 verse 8. In 2 Corinthians 6 verse 2 it says, "I have heard you in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succoured you." And then Paul adds his revelation that that Old Testament scripture in Isaiah, which he was quoting, is for today. And so he goes on to say, "Behold, now is the accepted time." It's arrived, it's come. Now is the day of salvation. So read it all in one piece. We read Isaiah, Paul quoting Isaiah. "I have heard you in a time accepted, said God, and in the day of salvation have I succoured you." And Paul then adds, "Behold, now is the accepted time. It's come, it's arrived. Now is the day of salvation." Jesus says, "I've come to announce, I've come to proclaim, I've come to preach, to herald the acceptable year of the Lord. It's here." That's what Paul was saying in Corinthians. That's what Jesus was saying in the synagogue. The time has come to get right with God. He knew that he was going to die. He knew he was going to make that sacrifice for sin upon the cross of Calvary. And so he could declare, "Now is the day of salvation. Tomorrow will be too late." Tomorrow is always too late. That's also the case for those who proclaim the gospel. Proclaiming the gospel is for today. Tomorrow might be too late. But Jesus said this: I've come to preach and to proclaim, to herald the acceptable year of the Lord. It's now. And he closed the book. He didn't read any more. Why? Because if he'd read further, he'd be reading for something about the future that's not yet come. It's still the acceptable year of the Lord. After that, in Isaiah, it says this: proclaiming the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. That day has not yet come. The day of judgment has not yet come. Praise God, we can still proclaim the gospel. It's still relevant. It's still available before that day of judgment comes. He closed the book at that time when he said, now is the day. Now is the acceptable year of the Lord. It's still the acceptable year of the Lord. One day we're going to have to open that book again. Day of judgment will come. Make sure you're all right with God when that day comes. Today, what it is called today, for the night is coming when no one can work. May I ask you this morning, these wonderful verses of salvation here, of preaching the good news to the poor, of healing the brokenhearted, delivering those who are captive and can't escape from the situations that they're in, recovering of sight to the blind, they can't see it. There's a revelation here that there's salvation from all those problems and difficulties to set at liberty those that are crushed and are bruised. Now is the time to get right with God. But there's coming a time when it won't be. Can I ask you this morning, do you know the Lord's salvation? Do you know the Lord's salvation? Do you know the good news that Jesus was proclaiming? That you can be rich in him. That you can know the joy of the Lord and fulfillment in him. That you can know the liberty and the freedom that we have. Freedom from sin and the power of sin. Do we know that liberty? From all those crushing experiences. Oh yes, times can be hard, but for the believer, there's always the joy of the Lord is our strength. Do you know Jesus as your Saviour and Lord? If you don't know him as your Saviour and Lord, and you want to invite him into your heart and life this morning, accept him as the Saviour who can deal with all those problems and difficulties of life, and give you the assurance that you're going to heaven, that this life is not just all there is, you can be with him in heaven. And on the journey, through life's pathway, know the blessing of the joy of the Lord in your heart and life. Whatever your circumstances, you can know the joy of the Lord. Know his life, his salvation. Know his forgiveness of sins. This morning you can accept him as your Lord and Saviour. You can ask him into your heart and life. It's a simple prayer. There are no ceremonies to go through. It's a simple act of faith. Lord Jesus Christ, I've heard the message of salvation. I've heard that you died for me upon the cross. You paid the price for my sin. Your blood was shed for me. Lord, I want you to come into my heart and life today to cleanse me from all my sin, to make me a new person. You can pray that prayer today and receive Jesus Christ as Saviour and Lord. If you want us to help you, come to the front when we sing our last hymn and we'll pray with you in Jesus' name. And today, if you've got any problem that are getting difficult, you need prayer, you need help in prayer, come to the front and we'll pray for you. If it's in need of healing or if there's another problem in your life that you want us to pray for, let's pray for you this morning. Come to the front in Jesus' name. He is the same Lord as he was in the Bible. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. As he was in the days of Elijah, as he was in the days of Moses, so is he today. Hallelujah. And his mighty power has been revealed. Come to the front and let's pray for you if you have a problem, if you have a need. Let's sing that song, These Are the Days of Elijah.